In the past couple days, the Green Bay Packers have lost a pair of players, cornerback Casey Hayward and quarterback Scott Tolzien, but they've also re-signed a few as well. We'll recap the first week of free agency coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking free agency, a flurry of activity across the NFL since free agency started less than a week ago. Thanks for your patience, everyone, as the show has been on hiatus for the past week plus, week and a half or so, as I was on vacation myself. I've had to do some catching up to understand all of the deals the Packers have made and haven't made, and we're going to recap them over the course of this episode. The most recent of which, and we could play the segment intro here.
Packers news of the day.
Cornerback Casey Hayward signed, or apparently agreed to a three-year deal with the San Diego Chargers as of Sunday. If he's actually put pen to paper yet and signed the contract, I'm not sure. But he's at least agreed to the deal, and it appears imminent that Hayward will be leaving the Green Bay Packers. It's only a matter of the deal being finalized, if it hasn't been already. Reportedly a three-year deal averaging just north of $5 million a season, I think 5.1. There's something like over $6 million in guarantees, which is about probably what I would have predicted, roughly, that Casey Hayward would have gotten on the free agent market. It certainly is not a surprise to me that Hayward has left the Green Bay Packers after all they've invested into the position over the past year plus. I mean, they've really kind of kept the cornerback position stocked, not just last year, although they certainly made a very heavy investment last year, but they've been continually replenishing the cornerback cupboard, for years now in Green Bay. And of course, last year they invested both first and second round draft picks into the position when they selected Demarius Randall in the first round and Quentin Rollins in the second round. And of course, those guys had very good rookie seasons in the NFL. Randall in particular, I would say he was probably the Packers rookie of the year this past year. And considering he's, made the transition from college safety to professional cornerback, I would say that there's a good chance that he's only going to continue to get better as he becomes more comfortable in that role and just practices more and plays more and watches more film and all those kind of things. And pretty much the same thing for Quentin Rollins, who's gone from college basketball player to professional football player. Also another player who's, had to make that transition and is not fully yet comfortable probably as to what it takes to be the best in the NFL. I'm sure these guys are striving to be the best and they seem to have a very bright future ahead of them. So the Packers, prepared for the loss of Casey Hayward here. It's not just them. Of course, they've got Sam Shields locked up through the 2017 season. Sam Shields, of course, a Pro Bowler after the 2014 season in the NFL. So a very, very capable player there and a cover cornerback. They had, in addition to Randall and Rollins, they had four total rookie cornerbacks on the roster last season, when you're considering Ladarius Gunter and Robertson Daniel, a pair of undrafted rookies, but a pair of guys who made the Packers roster last season, and be interesting to see what they can do moving forward. And not, it doesn't stop there. You know, I've listed off a litany of cornerbacks the Packers have already. Continuing on with that theme, they have Micah Hyde, who of course is, you know, also a safety, but also one of the Packers' nickel cornerbacks, and then Dimitri Goodson as well, a draft choice in 2014 for the Green Bay Packers, a sixth rounder. So they have lots of options to offset the loss of Casey Hayward. And Hayward becomes actually the third cornerback the Packers have lost over the past two off seasons, following in the footsteps of Tremont Williams, who signed with the Cleveland Browns last offseason. And in addition to that, Devon House, who signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. And it wasn't, you know, just this past Friday when the NFL announced the compensatory draft picks for this upcoming NFL draft in 2016 in April. The Packers will be getting a pair of fourth-round picks for those losses when they lost more free agents than they gained, than they signed. When they lost Williams and House, each one of them netted a fourth-round draft pick for the Packers in return, which is more than the original investment than the Packers made into those players. You know, it's becoming, you know, quite a bit delayed down the road, but, you know, Tremont Williams was signed off the street. Devon House, I believe, was a fifth-round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers. So getting more than the original investment into those players, and Casey Hayward didn't sign quite as big a contract as either Williams or House did last year. Perhaps a little bit surprising in that the salary cap has grown, so there's more money available to all players across the NFL. But still, a deal averaging about $5 million a year, just based upon history of what has happened to, you know, compensatory draft picks over the years. Assuming the Packers once again lose more free agents than they sign, which, you know, appears would be the case, they could get, probably you're looking at a fifth round draft choice next year. So we're talking the 2017 NFL draft. They're always given 1 year later after you lose a free agent, but that's what the Packers, you know, that's why they were comfortable in letting Casey Hayward walk away. Another reason, you know, of course, you know, I just laid out all the reasons before in that they've got a cupboard stocked full of cornerbacks. But in addition to that, they also stand to get a draft choice. So, you know, these are the reasons they let Casey Hayward walk. Of course, you're losing a player that, you know, that his biggest calling card is his. The biggest positive about Casey Hayward is that his rookie season in the NFL had the six interceptions, the 21 passes defensed, and you had to be really high on Casey Hayward, you know, back in 2012. I think people thought he was destined for big things, and then he had lingering hamstring issues that limited him to three games in the 2013 season, his second year in the NFL. They kind of lingered into training camp the following year, albeit he did play the entire 2014 season. He played all 16 games the past 2 years, so he's rebounded pretty well, but the production has just never been the same. I know he had three interceptions last year, which was nice, but then it dipped down to zero interceptions this past season. I think he's broken up seven passes each of the past 2 years, which is a third of the 21 he broke up as a rookie. So, you know, just never quite living up to that. And, there's reasons, you know, he played a lot outside as a perimeter cornerback this past season, more than he had ever done before in his professional career. In addition to the hamstring issues, there was I believe he had a broken bone in his foot that, you know, he dealt with in 2014. It was repaired in the offseason, but he played through that in 2015. So there's all these reasons as to why, you know, his production never quite got there the same again. And maybe it will in due time if he can put the injuries behind him. And he's, even with the injuries, he's played through them. He's kind of shown that toughness the past two seasons to get over that and play through any pain he might have. I mean, that's what the San Diego Chargers saw in Casey Hayward. I know he liked the opportunity to play outside in Green Bay. Presumably, he's going to get that same opportunity with the Chargers. So that's why he left. That's why the Packers let him leave. And be interesting to see what the Packers eventually get. I think you're looking at a fifth-round draft choice. But, you know, that's a topic for a year from now. It won't be until almost a year when we find out when next year's compensatory draft picks will be announced. I know it's a long time to wait, but it'll be good topic for fodder down the road. But Hayward is not the only free agent the Packers lost. You know, in just the past couple days, really, it happened on Friday when quarterback Scott Tolzien signed what looks to be a two-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not sure if this has become official yet either. Well, actually, it should have, because the Colts, I know, actually tweeted a picture of Tolzien signing his contract, but I'm not sure the details, the money has come out yet with the deal that Tolzien inked with the Colts. But yeah, he becomes the second, free agent that has left the Packers organization. And another one that wasn't really surprising here, because, you know, of course the Packers have their starter in the fold with Aaron Rodgers, obviously. That's not even really under discussion, under debate, something not even really worth, you know, analyzing too much. So they got their starter, and the Packers had their number two backup of the future waiting in the wings with Brett Hundley, their sixth round draft choice last year. And with Hundley, he now steps into the understudy role under Aaron Rodgers and becomes the number two quarterback after being the number three all last season. In fact, he was the only player on the Packers roster, was never active for a single game during the regular season. So, Brett Hundley, the experience that Hundley has was strictly during the preseason as far as game experience goes. And he did play very well in the preseason. I know he led the NFL in the preseason. I mean, we're talking about exhibition season only here, but which you take with a grain of salt, but still pretty impressive that he led the entire NFL in passing yards per game during the preseason, averaged like over 150 passing yards a game, which is pretty impressive when, you know, they're playing three or four quarterbacks a game. And on top of that, I think he led the NFL in touchdown passes. He had seven touchdown passes during the exhibition season. So you're very encouraged by what Brett Hundley can offer, and you understand why the Packers let Scott Tolzien walk away. And Brett Hundley's stock just keeps on rising, you know, and the Packers have been, you know, sending signals that, you know, how much they value him, you know, pretty much ever since before they drafted him, because they had to trade up to even ensure they got Brett Hundley in the fifth round. They actually moved from the end of round to the beginning of the round to make sure they could grab him. So they get him. And then now, by allowing Scott Tolzien to walk away, they're once again sending a signal that we trust Brett Hundley. So this is another guy that you think down the road they may be able to increase their investment into him. You know, when they put in a fifth round draft choice, invest a fifth rounder into Brett Hundley, somewhere down the road, you have to assume that they'll probably try to deal him away or let him walk away in free agency and get a compensatory draft pick. Either one of those, you know, ways might be conceivable that the Packers might part ways with them. And you saw this past offseason here, the current offseason, I guess, how much the quarterback position is valued in the NFL when a team like the Houston Texans invests the tens of millions of dollars they did into a player like Brock Osweiler, who's, you know, only played a handful of games in the NFL. You know, how much might they, how much could Brett Hundley eventually make for a guy whose you know, career arc seems to be on the rise, a guy who seems to have a bright future ahead of him? Obviously, a lot of questions yet, but the way his career is going so far, nothing but really positives to say, very few negatives, until the warts become exposed, at least with a guy like Brett Hundley. And we're not sure if they will, or you know, some, he'll have his weaknesses, but we're not quite exactly sure what they'll be yet. So, he steps into the number two role. He's an injury away from being the Packers starter, and knock on wood, if you want that, you don't really want that to happen when you've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers as the QB number one in the pack atop the Packers depth chart. But again, that this is why the Packers allowed Scott Tolzien to walk away. Maybe when we learn the details of Scott Tolzien's contract, we might learn that he could potentially even get the Packers a compensatory draft pick. I'm not expecting, you know, maybe you're talking a seventh round draft pick at best, because I don't think Scott Tolzien's going to command a ton of money. But this is a guy who, you know, the Colts needed a backup to Andrew Luck, and maybe they gave him, you know, close to maybe $2 million a year. I think that might be the ceiling on a Scott Tolzien contract, maybe a little bit less, but, you know, that could net the Packers potentially another draft pick down the road. Once again, assuming that they lose more free agents than they sign, which is how that whole formula equation works in the NFL. So that is the most recent news regarding the Green Bay Packers, the players that they lost over the past, you know, really several days, less than a week ago. But if we talk about the players that are staying, at least since the outset of free agency, we know the Packers have re-signed Mike Daniels, LaTroy Guyon, Mason Crosby, all players we've talked about on the show already. But since free agency started, since the new league year has begun, perhaps the most notable re-signing the Packers have made is with Nick Perry, the 2012 first-round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers. You know, a guy who has been rather underwhelming in his career thus far for several reasons. You know, number one might be injuries. You know, he's had the broken wrist. He's had the broken bone in his heel. He's dealt with, he's underwent off-season shoulder surgery this past year. So there's been a litany of you know, injuries he's dealt with, although he went from missing a lot of games, you know, early in his career to, you know, largely playing through them the last 2 years. You know, he played in 15 regular season games last year in the NFL, or, you know, 2014. He played in 14 games in 2015. You know, when you're missing only one or two games a year, I don't think that's too bad in a physical league like the NFL is. I couldn't hold up for that long if I was playing, I know. So I don't, you know, give Nick Perry too much grief when you're only missing a game or two. So he's trending in the right direction as far as a health standpoint goes. And, you know, compared to where he was his rookie year when he only played a handful of games at least. And in addition to that, you know, there's a lot of people that feel maybe he's miscast in the Packers, you know, 3-4 system as an outside linebacker, and he has, you know, better fit as a 4-3 defensive end if he were to put his hand in the ground. Kind of uncertain there. I mean, certainly the Packers play most of the time with a, you know, in their nickel defense more than any others, even though it's, you know, technically a sub package. They're in that, you know, formation more than any other, you know, any other defensive scheme they line up in, and Nick Perry is usually one of four players along the defensive line, you know, lining up for the Packers in that front four. So he's in a four-man front, and albeit, you know, every once in a while he's got to drop back in coverage, but, you know, his forte is rushing the passer. That's what it was in college, at least. And, you know, he shows glimpses of that. He shows glimpses of being dominant, such as he did this past playoffs in the wild card round against Washington when he had 2.5 sacks coming up against a Pro Bowl left tackle like Trent Williams. That was very impressive for a guy like Nick Perry. So there's that makes you feel encouraged that Nick Perry will be able to translate that into the future. And perhaps, you know, Nick Perry is in line for a increase in playing time. You know, he's really only played kind of a rotational role ever since, you know, coming into the NFL. He's never been a full-time player, a full-time starter, a three-down type of guy. He hasn't been that, but maybe he, you know, he's not going to be ever a three-down guy. Not when the Packers, you know, in 2016 looked to have Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews as their starting outside linebackers, and understandably so. But maybe if the Packers let Mike Neal walk, and I don't know if they will, but, you know, regardless of whether or not Mike Neal comes back in 2016, the past several years, Mike Neal has played a very big role on the Packers' defense. He played more than twice the amount of snaps Nick Perry did this past year. And basically, they had a production level on par with each other. So in half the amount of snaps as Mike Neal, Nick Perry's putting up basically the same number of snaps, basically the same number of tackles. So, I mean, if you were to give, if those roles were reversed, I mean, doesn't it stand to reason that Nick Perry would be the one putting up twice the amount of production as Mike Neal? I think there's that kind of potential there with him that I think you should see with Nick Perry going forward. And it's, you know, the Packers giving him 1 year, $5 million in 2016. Basically, you know, what people call a prove-it contract, in which, you know, Nick Perry is going to try to play his butt off for 1 year, so that next offseason he can get the long-term contract, whether it's with the Packers or another team. He just wants to have as good a season as possible so he can get, you know, the 3, 4, 5-year deal that gives him some security, gets him some guaranteed money, hopefully. He'll want a signing bonus, those kind of things. So, I mean, that's what Nick Perry's looking for, and that's what he's banking on by signing a one-year contract. And this seemed to be, you know, I probably never would have predicted Nick Perry's going to sign a one-year deal. In retrospect, it makes sense. I'm just saying I don't think I could have predicted it. But it makes sense. I mean, $5 million, I think, seems fair. I have no problem with the Packers giving Nick Perry a one-year, $5 million deal. Perhaps to some it seems a little bit rich, considering he's never really been a great NFL player thus far in his career. But I think, you know, it gives him incentive to play hard. And I think that'll bring out the best in Nick Perry this year. Hopefully he can just stay healthy. I wish the best for him. And the better he does, the better the Packers defense is the way it goes. Now, if we are going to find fault with the Packers, here's the deal. Since the outset of free agency, since the outset of the new league year, here's the deal I have the biggest problem with, and we're, you know, I'm kind of splitting hairs in a little bit here. But the one player they gave a 2-year contract to was offensive lineman Lane Taylor, a restricted free agent. The Packers basically gave him a 2-year, $4 million deal, which I thought they overpaid for. And you know, this kind of goes along with the line of thinking that the Packers overpay to keep their own. And you know, I think for the most part, I'm not saying this is in every case. I think the deal that Nick Perry got was fair. I think other deals the Packers have given, such as Mason Crosby, I think was fair. I think they probably underpaid for, you know, if you take a look at Mike Daniels. But in terms of Lane Taylor, in terms of LaTroy Guyon,
You know, I think the Packers overpaid for these guys. Not that I don't think they shouldn't have brought him back. That is not the case. I think they I have no problem with them, you know, basically bringing these guys back. But, you know, two years, $4 million for Lane Taylor, I think they, you know, doubled what he deserves. I think he deserved a two-year, $2 million deal. So they overpaid by $1 million a year. I think Packers could be $1 million underneath the salary cap, you know, in each of the past, you know, 2 years, this year and next year. The Lane Taylor, he was a restricted free agent, which the tender for him would have been $1.6 million for a one-year deal. I didn't think the Packers should do that. The minimum contract for a fourth-year player is somewhere in the realm of $600,000 a year. So I think, you know, I thought the Packers, well, they don't have to pay him the minimum, the $600,000, but let's say you give him $1 million a year. I mean, that's $400,000 above the minimum for a guy like Lane Taylor, who's been with you for 3 years, and that's good, and he's got a nice, bright future. I just don't think there's anybody else out there on the open market that would have given Lane Taylor $2 million per year. I don't think that would have happened.
You know, it's nice to have him as an insurance policy. Should anything happen to TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, it's nice to have him in the fold. And he actually, you know, he started one game there late in the year. Was it the playoff game against Washington when the Packers were dealing with those injuries on the offensive line? And Taylor did fine. He did nice in that capacity. I just thought the Packers overpaid for him, like they overpaid for LaTroy Guyon, whose salary cap figure this year is something like $3.5 million. I think that's too much for a player like LaTroy Guyon. I think he deserved a deal around probably $2 million a year, maybe even less than that. Because again, I don't think he would have gotten that on the open market. I don't think there's any team in the NFL that would have, you know, that I think that was his price point, $2 million a year, where the Packers are giving him $3.5 million salary cap figure this past year. Not that I don't think they shouldn't have signed him, just think that they shouldn't have signed him for that much. So there's my feelings on Lane Taylor. And finally, kind of the last players who appear to be staying in Green Bay, and that is their exclusive rights free agents. They have extended offers to both safety Chris Banjo, your special teams captain during the postseason, and tight end Justin Perillo. And all they are at this point are offers, as far as I've heard. There is a certain time period in which these players and all exclusive free rights free agents across the NFL have to sign a contract. And it's something, you know, minimal, and also somewhere in the realm of like $600,000 per year. They technically don't have to sign it if they don't want to. Or they could, you know, try to negotiate for a little bit better deal. And maybe in the case of a guy like Chris Banjo, who's, you know, entering his, you know, what is it, his third year with the Green Bay Packers, you know, he might be able to negotiate a small, like, say, workout bonus, say $25,000 or something like that. You know, if he works that out all offseason, he might get a very small bonus, which would be, you know, nice for a guy like him who's, you know, further down the draft, you know, the depth chart in Green Bay. So they have some time to talk through those things, but there's not a whole lot of bargaining power exclusive rights free agents have. They just don't, you know, they're not going to find a lot on the open market. You know, they may be able to find a deal somewhere, but it's going to be a minimal deal at that. So there just isn't a lot of, they're not in a position to bargain for a whole lot. But I suppose when you are Chris Banjo and you were voted as the special teams captain by your peers on the teams, he's got a little bit of clout. Not a lot of clout, but a little bit of clout. And he may be able to get something, like I said, a small workout bonus, something like that, which would be, you know, fine if the Packers gave him. In fact, that'd be a nice thing to give him, I think.
So they're coming back, again, relatively minor signings, signing a special teams guy that provides some depth at the safety position for a guy like Chris Banjo. Of course, the Packers have a need at the tight end position for depth, and that's why they retain Justin Perillo, of course. But I think a lot of people question whether Justin Perillo's the guy that's going to stretch the field, that's going to help you a whole lot on the offensive side of the football. Certainly there's, he's shown some flashes. I've said, you know, he might be the fastest tight end the Packers have currently on the roster. Perhaps, I mean, it's probably a race between him and Kennard Backman, but that's not saying a whole lot, you know, compared to other tight ends across the NFL. I don't think that, you know, they quite stack up there, you know. The options the open to the Packers in free agency at the tight end position might be drying up a little bit as guys, you know, across the NFL have signed contracts. I know Jermaine Gresham of the Arizona Cardinals just re-upped with his previous team there just yesterday, Sunday, I believe. Of course, you know, guys like Kobe Fleener have signed free agent contracts. Guys like the San Diego Chargers guy, what's his name? I have to forget off the top of my head who was the free agent. So many names running through my head right now. But that basically, you know, sums up free agency for the Green Bay Packers over the course of the past week or so since our last episode of Railbird Central, which leads us into our next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, well, it's possible the Packers re-sign some other players. There's a lot of guys whose contracts have expired that are kind of floating out in the ether right now. If we're talking about guys like wide receiver James Jones, running back James Starks, defensive lineman B.J. Raji, linebacker Mike Neal, tight end Andrew Quarles, fullback John Kuhn. There's a few more on the Packers roster. You know, the Packers could, you know, agree to deals with these guys at a moment's notice. Could come down the pike any moment for all I know, since they could have gotten deals done since I started recording this podcast. But there doesn't appear any deals are imminent at this point. These guys could sign with other teams as well. The one thing we know for sure that'll happen on Monday in the world of the Green Bay Packers is a pretty extensive pro day circuit, and one that's going to extend not just for Monday, for the next week or the next several weeks, really. I know the most prominent pro day stop on Monday's circuit would be at LSU, where there's a lot of, you know, NFL draft prospects on display. Offensive lineman Vidal Alexander, Gerald Hawkins, cornerback Jalen Mills, linebacker Deion Jones, who we had his interview on this show on Railbird Central back during the NFL Combine. Lots of, you know, there's pro day workouts across college football, across the nation, even north of the border. I know in Manitoba, Canada, there's a pro day workout on Monday. But also at Wake Forest, at Toledo, at Bowling Green. The Packers are going to have scouts out at these places on Monday, checking out NFL draft prospects, getting to see them up close and personal, getting to see them work out, and making some judgments on them perhaps. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers over the next 24 hours or so. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on a Monday morning. Thanks for your patience in terms of waiting out the hiatus on this show as I was on vacation for the past week. But glad to be back and talking some Packers football with you here on a Monday morning. Like I said, that'll do it. We'll be back again on Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. The live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as always, as usual. If you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a rating or a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you want to do that, we'd greatly appreciate it if you would. But that'll do it, folks. Have a good Monday. We'll see ya. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.